Tony Bennett is a two-time felon who was convicted of murder and sentenced to 25 years to life in prison, but he's been free since 2008. That's because former Queens Assistant District Attorney Claude Stewart violated a basic rule of law by withholding critical evidence from Bennett's attorney. And he's not the only one. An analysis of more than a decade's worth of state and federal court rulings found more than two dozen instances in which judges concluded city prosecutors committed harmful misconduct. Joaquin Sapien wrote the story for the investigative website ProPublica, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Well, you know, how prevalent is withholding evidence like in the Tony Bennett case? And what are some other examples of the harmful misconduct committed by prosecutors?
Well, we found about 30 convictions that were overturned by appellate courts as a result of misconduct committed by New York City prosecutors. It's not to say that in every single one evidence was withheld. Sometimes other things came up, like eliciting false testimony or suborning perjury, things like that, prejudicing the defendant in some other way that deprived him of a fair trial. And it's really difficult to say, you know, how often misconduct occurs, because a lot of the time these cases never go to trial and they never go on to become appealed, which is the first point at which the public has any real access or insight into whether any misconduct has occurred.
Well, one example you write about is Claude Stewart, the Queens assistant DA in the Tony Bennett case that I talked about. Stewart committed misconduct multiple times during his 14-year career with the Queens district attorney. What finally led to him losing his job?
Well, it came out that he lied to a judge about the whereabouts of a key witness whose testimony would have exculpated the defendant by the name of Tyrone Johnson in a big murder case out in Queens. So that witness described somebody at the scene of the crime who looked a lot different than Johnson. And the defense attorney in his case really wanted to interview that witness and asked both the judge and Claude Stewart to make that witness available. Stewart said he hadn't talked to her, and then a private investigator found after his conviction that, in fact, he had talked to her just 4 days before lying about it in court. So that was one of three, at least publicly known, instances of misconduct on Stewart's record. And when that came out, that's when the Queens DA reassigned him, forced his resignation, and he went on to be disciplined. But it really shows kind of how much you can get away with, how much you can bend the rules before suffering any real consequences. He's the only prosecutor in our analysis to have suffered any real substantive discipline.
Now, Bennett was freed because of Stewart's mistake. What's been the impact of the other cases? Have other criminals been freed or innocent people convicted?
Well, there's some really fascinating cases coming out of Brooklyn right now. There is a man by the name of Jabbar Collins who was imprisoned for about 15 years for a murder that he didn't commit of a Brooklyn rabbi. And it's become clear through federal court proceedings that the prosecutor, Michael Vecchione, withheld a witness recantation and some other evidence that pointed to Mr. Collins's innocence, or at least that he wasn't involved in the crime. So he was eventually released, and he's filed a $150 million lawsuit against the Brooklyn DA. And the federal judges that are overseeing the civil litigation have had some really harsh comments about his misconduct, saying that his behavior is horrific and that it's outrageous that Charles Hines, his boss, seems to be ignoring it. And it appears as though Hines has taken every effort to protect him, coming out and calling him a very, very principled lawyer, in spite of some of the scathing criticism that he's gotten from several federal judges at this point.
Why is it that so many prosecutors go unpunished?
Well, there's a variety of reasons. One thing is that the appellate division, which is responsible for overseeing prosecutors, doesn't seem to act on their own to begin investigating these prosecutors. They rely chiefly on complaints from defense attorneys and others who have to continue to work with prosecutors. And if you're a defense attorney working in Brooklyn and you report on a Brooklyn prosecutor, it's not necessarily in your best interest, because you have to continue to have a relationship with these people in order to get good plea agreements in the future for your future clients. And complaining about them can create a really rocky relationship. And it's not really that clear that even when complaints are made, that the appellate division acts. I mean, we've seen cases where people have complained and the prosecutor hasn't been disciplined or gets away with a private letter of caution, something that the public has no real access to. And so their career, you know, remains largely untarnished.
And briefly, just to wrap up, are there any changes being discussed in the legislature maybe to change the current system?
There have been some legislative reforms proposed about open file discovery and things like that, and making sure that exculpatory evidence is turned over in a timely manner and that prosecutors are punished when they don't abide by the rules. The District Attorneys Association, which is quite powerful up in Albany, has adamantly opposed all of these reforms. And they say that they have made moves voluntarily to accomplish some of what the legislation has mandated. So, for instance, in Brooklyn, there's a conviction integrity unit which reviews cases where people have been allegedly wrongfully convicted. And there was a big exoneration that came out a couple of weeks ago involving a defendant by the name of defendant David Ranta, which is a really interesting case because the conviction integrity unit looked very closely at it and put the bulk of the responsibility on the detective.
Right. We're going to have to leave it at that, unfortunately, Joaquin. Joaquin Sapien is with the investigative website ProPublica. Thanks so much for coming on this morning.
Okay. Thanks for having me.